Columbia's Church of the Air. The Church of the Air was established by the Columbia Network so that clergymen of the major faith might bring their message to a nationwide congregation of worshipers. Now in its 16th year of continuous broadcast, this series is presented on time reserved by the Columbia Network and its affiliated stations. Today, the Network Presbyterian Service comes to you from the studios of WJEF in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where the 159th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in the United States of America is now in session. The General Assembly, the highest court of this denomination, meets annually to supervise the business of the church and to elect a new moderator. Mr. Wilbur LaRoe, Jr., an attorney of Washington, D.C., who will conduct our service this morning, has just been elected by the Assembly to serve as moderator for the coming year. Mr. LaRoe has entitled his sermon, Christ's Way to Fullness of Life. Music for the service will be provided by the choir of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Grand Rapids under the direction of Mr. Douglas Peterson. Mr. Peterson is at the organ. The invocation will be given by Dr. Howard Moody Morgan, minister of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church of Philadelphia.
God, who art eternal, infinite, and unchangeable, glorious in holiness, full of love and compassion, abundant in grace and truth, all thy works praise thee in all places of thy dominion, and thy glory is revealed in Jesus Christ thy Son. Wherefore we, thy people, would praise thee and lift up our hearts in worship through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You,
He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we bless thy holy name for thy love for all the world. And above all, we thank thee for thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Give us all his Spirit, that we may love him and serve him all the days of our lives, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
The sermon address this morning will be given by Mr. Leroux.
When Jesus said to the distressed and suffering people of his day, I have come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly, he meant exactly what he said. Jesus was not a deep theologian or a profound philosopher. He spoke in the simplest terms, in terms that you and I can understand. He said in the plainest possible language that he wanted you and me to have a richer, fuller, and more peaceful life. That he wanted us to get rid of the burdens we are carrying and to cast out our fears. As we look across the world today, we see more suffering and distress than there was in the time when Jesus ministered to the sufferers of his day. For the world is much larger now, and there are many millions who need the healing touch of a Savior. I am thinking of the many with family troubles, those who have worries, those who are concerned about someone very dear to them, those who feel frustrated, if not frantic, those who suffer from terrible injustice. It was the worried, the frustrated, the sick, the frantic that Jesus sought as he walked along the highways. His specialty was to heal, to mend the broken heart, to bring peace to the troubled soul, to straighten out the warped and crooked life, to lift all men to a higher plane and to inspire them with a greater vision. There can be no saving of this lost world unless the hearts of individual men and women are saved. And they can be saved only by other individuals like you and me who love God so much that they're willing to make sacrifices to lift burdens from the hearts of people. An aching heart anywhere in the world should be a challenge to the Church of Jesus Christ. How wonderful it would be if every Christian could feel, as I think he should feel, that his special task in this life is to lift burdens from the hearts of others and to fight the wrongs that cause such burdens. Just as our hospitals are places to which sick people flock for medical care, so I wish that our churches might be places of refuge for the unhappy, the worried, the fearful, the discouraged. For I am persuaded that the purpose of our Lord will never be accomplished as long as there is a single aching heart left in the world. We must not make the mistake of confining our religion to the church. Our minister at home in Washington, Dr. Hollister, spoke the truth recently when he said that the minister is not able to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ into the law office, into the factory, into the school, into the workshop, and that this can be done only by laymen. We laymen must carry the gospel of Jesus Christ into every department of life, and especially into the offices and shops where we work. If we practice law, we should practice it with the Christian goal ever in mind. If we practice medicine, we should practice it with the spirit of the medical missionary. If we are a housewife, we should feel that we are the builder of a Christian home. How wonderful it would be if in every area of life, we might fall into the habit of judging everything by Christian standards, including the thoughts that we think and the words that we speak. The place to start is in the home, because fullness of life begins in the home. All of us are deeply concerned about our children. We want them to have fullness of life. We want them to avoid the things that cause warped and frustrated lives. We care more about them than we care about ourselves. So great is our love for them. There is no sacrifice we would not willingly make if we could but feel sure that our children will enjoy rich and happy lives. It has been my privilege to work for more than 12 years on a board of parole, in which capacity I have studied literally thousands of cases of delinquency. I can say without any hesitation that by far the greatest cause of juvenile delinquency and crime is the lack of a Christian home. A child wants to be loved, to feel a sense of protection and security, to feel that there will be strong arms about him if any danger comes. He is not apt to go astray if he is brought up in that kind of a home where love and security are provided. Our parole cases come from homes where there's wrangling and selfishness, where there is dissension, and where the child lacks a feeling of security because his own parents have not found the abundant life. Show me a home where love reigns, where God is taken into account, where each member of the family regards himself as the servant of the other members of the family. And I will show you a home where children are growing up normally and where they are developing a healthy attitude toward life and toward their fellow men.